Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello, listeners. This is Cheryl Broderson in studio with Mary Pero. And both of us are very, very excited about our guest. She's coming to us all the way from New Mexico. So we're doing this via Zoom. But we are so excited to have Karen Lafferty. So for those of you who don't know who Karen is, you really need to. She was one of the, I would say, main characters, for lack of a better word, in the Jesus movement here at Calvary Chapel. She was just a mainstay. She was, I'm sorry, but Karen, for me as a kid, you were a rock star, right? I grew up not listening to secular music, not because I couldn't. My parents didn't have any prohibitions. In fact, my dad's favorite band was somebody in the Inkblots. I can't remember who it was. And so we grew up and that was okay, but I just loved all the music that was going on at Calvary. And I loved all the bands and all the excitement. And there's just something about music that blesses the Lord and praises the Lord. And, you know, some of your songs talked about the Christian journey, and others just led us right into the throne room of God. And so I was so excited. I read your book, Seek Ye First, when it first came out. You gave me a copy. I absolutely loved it. And from that moment on, I'm like, we've got to have Karen on this show. Mary, who's in studio with me, is also a worship leader. So she's very excited about having. So, Karen, thank you for for being willing to do this episode with us.
Sure. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. So now, tell me a little bit about your upbringing, a little bit before the show, and I read this, but I've forgotten. You told me that you grew up in a nominally Christian home. So tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was born in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And so that's, you know, I grew up there. It was called the Rocket City. We had a lot of, you know, this testing. You know, the atom bomb was just 60 miles north of us. And anyway, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, I loved New Mexico. Alamogordo is kind of a smaller town, about 15,000 or so, I think, still. And it was very early on that I my mom was a musician, and she really encouraged me in music. And so I started ukulele when I was about 8, and, you know, and then guitar by the time I was 12. And I learned saxophone at 9 and oboe then later. And anyway, I just knew the music was going to be my gig, you know. So I did that. I loved New Mexico, and I knew. I say about us New Mexicans that we get green chilies running through our veins.
And so yeah, and those are hot.
Back, you know,
yes.
And get your fix here. But after when my mom got sick and everything, I did come back. But I'm glad that I was raised in the Baptist church. And you know, my mom, you know, went pretty regularly and everything. My dad was so busy with he was a pharmacist, and with our stores, that he didn't go. I think he was basically a believer. But he became a believer more strongly when my brother got polio. And that was before I was born, actually. And yet, unfortunately, he really got hurt in the church. Mm. We were a little wealthier than some families in our town. And unfortunately, the pastor really kind of badgered him about tithing and about different things. And it kind of scared him away. And my dad also, though, had a drinking problem. He kept it secret. And he actually died because of that in a car accident. But he would drink after us kids went to bed at night. In fact, the night that he died, I was 12 years old, and we had been playing marbles in the living room. And, you know, we had just had so much fun with him and everything. And then at 3 a.m., my aunt comes screaming into our house that our dad had just been killed in a car accident. And of course, everything changed at that point. But I have high respect for my mom. She just was, you know, she took over the business and she was just there for us. And so I think it was at that time that I really started learning about the Father heart of God. Mm. Because, it's just, a lot of people get angry at God, you know, when something tragic happens. But for me, it really made me go towards God. Just a minute.
That is so good, though, to run towards God, because like you, Karen, I know a lot of people that when they have tragedy, they blame God. Like, why did you allow this? And then try to live independently of God, which doesn't do you any good at all. Mm. So no. You ran towards God. So that's the rest of then in high school, you walked with the Lord. And then were you involved in your church in high school then?
Oh, yeah, I really was. Started did all kinds of music in the church. I thought hymns were kind of boring at that time. I mean, later on, I really grew to love hymns.
I think we all did. Yes.
You know, I was just like into the modern music. And I thought they really did not let us use our guitars and do modern music.
Not in the Baptist church, no. All right, so yeah. Then you went to college, and you
made... Yeah, I got a degree in music education, and in choir directing, actually. I ended up not teaching ever in public school, but my... I got a lot of musical experience. We did a lot of show tunes, and I had a very good voice teacher that let me do things that were much more, much more on the modern side. And I made my first group. We were called the Joyful Noise. And actually, I did start one in high school. And we were called the Sundowners. And then this trio was called the Joyful Noise.
It's hard to believe that you could ever be considered noise.
But anyway, we had a lot of fun. Folk trios were very big at that time. So we did that. And I went on a USO tour during my college days, and we went to the Arctic Circle.
Wow.
That's not a regular place you go. And so I have all kinds of stories from that, which are in the book. And we even sang in churches then, but we also sang in bars a lot. And I would say I was still kind of nominal. You know, I was sowing my oats. But I did believe, and that was a lot of us in those days. You just grow up American Christians, you know.
Right.
But I really didn't know what really being dedicated to the Lord was yet. And that happened after my first year out of college. A good friend of mine had gotten involved. She was a little younger than me. She was still in college, and she went to New Mexico State. And there she got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. And so she came to visit me. I was entertaining in New Orleans, Louisiana. Pretty wild city. And I thought, nobody here knows me. You know, I can really sell my oats down here. And of course, I loved all of Dixieland and stuff. But I joined a Baptist church across the street from where I was working. And you know, a lot of people condemned me for singing in the bar over at the hotel, but there was a few that didn't, you know, a few that really reached out to me. And my friend, though, came and really walked. It's the first time I felt I saw somebody just walking with Jesus. Mm. And, you know, she would see a beautiful sunset and she would say, "Praise the Lord." I said, "Praise the Lord. You just say that, you know?" And it was, but she just, you know, the Lord was there. And I'd say, "Hey, let's go shopping or something." And she'd say, "Well, maybe we should pray before we go that the Lord will really show us how to use our money well." I said, "Well, wow, I thought we were supposed to repent afterwards." But anyway, so we But she really walked it out for me. And she gave me this little blue book. You know, they have the Four Spiritual Laws with Campus Crusade, but they have You Made the Wonderful Discovery of the Spirit-Filled Life?
Wow.
And they weren't charismatic at all, you know, but at the same time, they really taught the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's like, you know, I read that and I thought, you know, and they have those diagrams where, you know, either when you receive Christ, Christ should be on the throne of your life. And then, you know, everything else happens and you should be down at the foot. But a carnal Christian, you know, then you are still on the throne of your life and the Lord is down there somewhere in your life. And that was pretty much me. And I thought, you know, boy, I'm such a hypocrite. Everybody hates hypocrites. I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I made the decision at that time, either I'm going to do this or not. But I believe it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do this. So I just said that prayer and said, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit and show me what I need to change in my life. First thing he had me change was my act. You know, the songs I was singing. And so I thought I was singing all these songs that would get laughs or that were just popular, you know, like Help Me Make It Through the Night, you know, Scotch and Soda, you know, Mud in Your Eye and all that. So the Lord said, there's a lot of good songs out there. Just change your act. And so I did. And you know what? The first person I ever led to the Lord was in a bar I was working.
That's
because,
so great.
You know, at the time, songs like Put Your Hand in the Hand was popular. And right. So I could sing Christian songs. Jesus Met the Woman at the Well by Peter, Paul, and Mary. You know, I could sing those kind of songs.
Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Yes. Yeah. All of those things. And yes. I did that. and so we... yeah, the first, I was actually out in California when I was working in the lounge that maybe you saw me in. But one of the regular guys there, he said, you know, I just come here because, you know, I need to know people and I'm a single guy and where do I meet people? And so I just come to the bar here and I know I have a drinking problem. And he said, I don't want to, but I don't know where he said, you go to church, don't you? You know, maybe I can meet some people there or something. And he said, can I go to church with you? And I thought, well, of course, you know, so he went and he accepted the Lord first time
wow.
that he went to Calvary with me.
That's so awesome.
That was wonderful. And had many stories like that, you know, after that. But I remember the very night I felt called to the ministry. And it was after, you know, I had sung in the bar and I was missing a lot of things at Calvary. By the way, I should really tell you how I came to Calvary.
Yeah. Before we get there, because I really want to get there, too, is one of the things that surprised me in your book was that you were runner up Miss New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, I tried out for the music ministry with Campus Crusade for Christ.
Okay.
I went to their music week in 1970, and I tried out, and I had a degree in music, and I had sung professionally. I thought, no problem. But they interviewed me, and they said, would you be able to go on staff right away? And I said, well, no, I really need to spend one more summer singing in this steakhouse bar that I sung at the last three summers in New Mexico. And they said, oh, she wants to go sing in a bar. Okay. and then they said, and I said, also, you know, I won a local contest and I'm going to the Miss New Mexico pageant. And, you know, oh, she wants to be a beauty queen, you know. So anyway, I didn't make staff. I was not even amongst the finalists. And I was just crushed. But, you know, they had good counselors. And the small group I was in during that week, they said, you know, you told us your testimony was you really want to know the Lord's way. and that you just put it in his hands. And so you've got to trust that he's closing this door so that he can open another one.
Well, that's so good.
And, you know, and that's what happened is I said, okay, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to be salt and light in the entertainment world. I guess I need to do that in L.A., you know. So I had an uncle that lived out in Costa Mesa.
There you go. Yes.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And so they lived literally 5 minutes from Calvary Chapel. And I asked my cousins when I got there, I said, do you guys go to church anywhere? Because I was country bumpkin, scared to death of California. It was all drug, sex, rock and roll, Haight-Ashbury, all of this. You know, it was wild.
It was. I remember.
That's all. And I had no idea that there was a revival starting to happen. And so they said, yeah, we got saved at this place. It's just down the street. It's called Calvary Chapel. And let's go there tomorrow. And they were going to take me to the San Diego Zoo. And I said, so we're going to go to church and then come home and change clothes. And they said, oh, no, whatever you're going to wear to the zoo, you can wear to church. I said, what? Really? And, I mean, I was raised Baptist,
right?
So we didn't do that. but I did that. And one of the first guys I met was Tommy Coons with his little wire-rimmed glasses and his bushy hair and his big smile under that beard, you know. And, of course, jolly old Chuck was there, you know, comes in. Now, they still sing hymns.
Yes, they did.
Sunday mornings.
That's right. Three hymns. That's right.
But I saw all the hippies, you know, there with long hair and everything and with their arms around people, you know, that with short hair and had suits on. And they were singing love, 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 love. I thought, wow, I didn't think I would see this till heaven. Really.
Wow.
And so I was very deeply hooked. And so I just kept going. But when I worked in the bar, I couldn't go to all the night things that were happening. And so I said, well, God, I don't know what this means exactly, but I just want to sing for you. You know, I'm tired of singing Mr. Bojangles and raindrops keep falling on my head, you know. So I said, yeah, I want to sing your song. And so I gave my notice. And it was interesting because I had witnessed to the guy who had hired me. It's called Far West Services that hired entertainers for Ruben's restaurants. And he had studied to be a priest once. And he said, well, you're quitting. I had to give a 2-week notice. And he said, did somebody offer you a better job? And I said, well, yeah, kind of. And he said, ooh. I said, well, God. Oh, you know, and I was the first, you know, there were two other people that you remember, Bob Hool. He was one of our early musicians, too. But he had entertained for Far West and he quit and went into the ministry. And you know, that happened. And then I just became part of the Monday morning fellowship, Maranatha fellowship that we had. And started learning how to minister. And it was so simple. We had no idea we were making history.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? I remember just being in the middle of it and there was something so supernatural and yet natural. Like, this is just what God wants. And you felt so in the center of God's will. And it was so wonderful and so beautiful. It was just amazing. And I, you know, the unity. And, you know, for me, what is going on in the church today is more shocking than what went on to the church in that day, as far as the division, the competition, the criticism that you see in church was just so non-existent in my experience at
That's
church,
right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there was still some division, you know, we had all of the, of course, especially when the Holy Spirit was really moving, you know, there was a lot of like, what's going on here? But he was moving in all kinds of situations. In fact, I, out here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, at a Benedictine a monastery we have out here. It's one of the places where the Catholic charismatic movement started. And so Holy Spirit was moving in a lot of denominations at that time.
Well, you know, I went to public school, so I had a firsthand view of that, too, because of, I had friends that were Catholic and they went to Search, which was a weekend that they would go off to, that they would be introduced to the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they would come to Calvary just for the Bible teaching. They were still Catholics, but they wanted to know the Bible, and there was this thirst and this hunger to know the Bible. And, you know, my dad was like, hey, let them come and hear the word. And I think part of that was his Foursquare background with Amy Simple McPherson, who called herself interdenominational, because she wanted to just, let's all center our lives on Jesus Christ and his word. And so I think that was part of it. I want to know how you met my dad, that, you know, how you, do you remember meeting him for the first time?
I think it was probably just when he was shaking hands with people after service.
Yes.
And, you know, he would always be there and to shake everybody's hand. And so I introduced myself. You know, when I went and asked Calvary if I could sing, I think it was your dad that I asked, you know, well, I'm a musician, you know, how could I sing here on a Monday night or whatever? And he said, well, I think you need to sing for this guy over here. It was Tom Stipe.
Right.
So Tom, you know, had huge hair.
Right.
And so I went in there and I sang for Tom, and I had already written a couple of Christian songs, you know, and he said, yeah, why don't you start coming to our Monday morning musicians fellowship? And yeah, just let us know. And in fact, it was the way Siki first got introduced to the to everybody.
Karen, we have 2 minutes left, and I want to save that story. I want to leave that as a cliffhanger, because that is one of the most tremendous stories. And I want to leave that as a cliffhanger for those listeners to hear when we come back. But I want to ask you just a couple of questions going back to the Jesus movement and being at Calvary. Was there something that resonated with you, like, these people are just like me?
Well, of course. I mean, I was amazed because they weren't just like me.
Oh, there you go. Sense. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because California, I mean, it was, the whole scene was so different than what I knew church-wise.
Right. Okay.
You know, like
right.
I said, I was in a conservative Baptist church, and I mean, I'm in a Baptist church now.
Yes.
And they do contemporary music and all that. But I think what resonated with me is, wow, I've studied the word, I mean, somewhat all my life. But I never, the whole thing of going through the whole Bible. I think I got to go through the Bible twice with Chuck.
Yeah.
During the time I was there, you know, and you know what? I still listen to him. I just read through the Bible last year, you know, just, and man, there's some books like Ezekiel was really hard.
I thought, you know what?
I'm going to listen to Ezekiel with Chuck so I can understand it better. And so I still listen to him. I'm so grateful that he's still, you know, on YouTube and on these different places where we can listen to his teaching.
Yes.
I listen to Genesis, and he's just so knowledgeable. He could so have been a scientist.
I know. And he's still so.
Anything he wanted to be.
Right. You know, I know he went to be with the Lord in 2013, and yet his teaching is so contemporary. But I think that has to do a lot with the word of God. So we're just about out of time for this session, but we want to come back for a part two. I want to talk about Seek Ye First. I want to talk about some of the other records and songs that you've written, records you've recorded, songs you've written. And I also want to talk about kind of what I'll call the second call on your life. Where your music led you, because that's really exciting too. So, listeners, come back for part two with Karen Lafferty.
Thank Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.